What you are running for? For president? I don't know if they have Kamau run again, he might be in trouble. I think he's you know, statewide green, well known. He's tough.
I see. I was thinking of offering my S.E. myself to the Peace and Freedom Party.
For president?
Yeah.
Why not?
They have a N.A.T. National S.T.R.U. structure. I think.
I don't know. Peace and freedom, that's a group. They might have 30 years ago, but I don't know if they do anymore. I know that in California they're barely hanging on to the ballot.
I F H E helped W R I write their P platform in 67, no, 66, 1966.
Oh yeah? You probably know more about them than I do then. I know that they're like I've met a few of their candidates over the
A
years and they've been, you know.
B a bad S I a bad sign if you don't know much about them.
Honestly, like they've run a few candidates every election, and they're always like pretty much the same people, and they're really nice and like their heart's in the right place, and they're really dedicated to being a third party, and being a serious third party and running, and saying all the right things and talking about nationalized health care and all the common sense solutions that are out there. But I think between their shrinking and then other parties like the Green Party expanding, I think they're kind of getting. I think the Green Party probably appeals to a broader range of people on the left and kind of on the outside of the Democrats and the Republicans. So I think that's why they're growing.
S. So would so will you be my C A campaign manager? We are L I live.
Way too early. No.
No. If no, if we are G going to W win, we need to start now.
That's true.
If no, you and me
oh man, I just came here for an interview, not a job offer.
If you, maybe he needs to hear your platform.
Yeah, I mean, I am wearing the button without hearing the platform, which is actually a pretty big leap of faith. So,
should I start reading? All right. The Just Make Sense Party. I would do away with wealth. What?
Sorry.
I would do away with welfare and Social Security. Instead, every American will receive a minimum income of $1,000 a month. This amount will be tied to the cost of living and will not be taxable. Go up when ever Congress gives themselves a raise.
Nice.
We will have universal prenatal to the grave health care and universal free education with equal access. I'll do away with all tax deductions for over $12,000 income. Instead, there will be a flat tax of 10% on annual income of less than $1 million for an individual and less than $5 million for a corporation. But the flat tax will jump to 75% on annual income exceeding these limits. I'll cut the military budget by at least half. Public mass transit will be free, 24/7, and reliable. All patents and copyrights will expire in 20 years. Inventions, products, etc., which are developed with governmental money and or public institutions, cannot be patented. All businesses selling their products in the United States will have to certify that their products were manufactured in accordance with this country's labor, wage, environmental, and safety laws, that they meet or exceed these, no matter where they were produced. Each city and each media market will have at least two public access channels on radio, broadcast TV, cable, and satellite. Election Day will be a paid holiday. I will push for complete public funding for all political campaigns and the banning of political contributions and the use of personal wealth in political campaigns. The president should have a line veto, but the Congress can overturn this line veto by a simple majority. Also, bills should be limited to 5 pages in length and or limited to one subject. An individual taxpayer will be able to direct her taxes to what functions she wants to support, but corporate taxpayers should not have this option. Every corporation should come up for renewal every 25 years, at which time it must prove that it has been operating in the public interest.
Right. Nice.
If it fails to do this, it loses its right to exist. Corporations that have existed before this policy will have 10 years before they will have to prove they are worthy. Government should leave marriage to churches. Instead, any two or more adults who have been living together for at least 2 years should be able to register as a family. More to come.
Wow. I gotta say, there's just on the first, there's very little I would even question. That's fantastic. I really like the stuff about the corporate personhood. Those issues. I think it's something that's so unexamined. Like, people just take for granted you know, major corporations just kind of coming in and running everything, you know, and give and we give them the space to just butt in and just, you know, elbow the rest of us aside, the actual humans, I should say, aside, you know. And the whole the public benefit part of being a corporation is something that's so just forgotten, obviously, because, you know, public airwaves that are controlled by private corporations that are protecting their power, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm sure that's old news for most viewers of this fine.
Go on.
Oh, yeah. But, because, you know, I got to say, though, I'm just 35. I'll be, when is this broadcast? I turned 36 in October, so I'm not sure when this comes out.
This will probably be on before then.
I will be 36 soon, but I clearly remember a lot fewer corporations and a lot fewer big names. Like, I remember thinking, like, how ridiculous it is for someone to pay Coca-Cola for a shirt that says Coca-Cola on it. You know, it should be the other way around. You know, if we're going to be advertising a corporation's brand name in big letters on their shirts, on shirts that we buy, they should pay us, you know. But it's just like that, the amount
they
of...
They did pay us? Or give the SH shirt for F
for
free?
Yeah. But now there's like, it's fashion, you know? And it's like you pay like $60 for a freaking t-shirt. It's ridiculous. This is old news.
B-R-A brainwashing.
Consumerist brainwashing. I'll go there. Yeah, definitely.
They B brainwash us. S, so, M, U, so much that we, P, pay for A, S, a shirt that A, advertises a corporation.
Exactly. Yeah, you said what I wanted to say in much more succinctly. But I mean, that's also like, that's like some story from 15 years ago, so I'm kind of showing how forward my fashion thinking is. It's not very forward at all, but it's an example of just how much things are just, like I try to think of ways to give directions. My better half actually came up with this. Trying to figure out a way to give directions to places without using stores or brand names. Like, make a right at the McDonald's, or make a left at the Burger King. You know, trying to give directions without saying, without using those names. It's really, really tough. It's really natural. You know, and if you think about it, you can really drive yourself crazy by beating yourself up every time you say one of their names when you're not actually entering their store, you know. But it permeates everything, and it's, to me, like, you know, I walk into a mall, I want to just, you know, grab a AK-47 and start shooting people. I hate, like, the feel of, you know, of a mall. It's just, like, very clean, and, like, you got Muzak and all that, you know. It's just really, I feel like I'm in an airport, like, I must conform and, you know, goose step to the center of the Muzak, you know. So I'm really puzzled when people I know and respect don't feel the same way. Like, they're like, let's go to the mall. And I think, you're out of your mind. That's like the last place in the world I want to go, you know? So it's a kind of gut reaction for me.
And is there? Any? Anything? You? A? C? Actually? Want? In a mall?
Yeah. A better question is there anything I actually need in a mall? Is probably more of the question. But, you know, I could be a good little capitalist. You know, when I'm chasing after some kind of obsession.
I am not capitalism. I am a anti-CO corporation.
Right. I think it's a really important way to look at it. I like that a lot. Though, I mean, I would say that I think, you know, I would lean towards the socialist side of, the anarcho-socialist side of things in terms of, like, a governmental structure being healthier for humans, for sure. I mean, I think capitalism in its purest form, we're not even seeing that now. We're seeing more of a capitalism with a corporate welfare face, corporate welfare tendencies.
Is that REA really capitalism?
Well, that's just about the, yeah, good question. That's about the limit of my, thank you, my economic theory knowledge right there.
Like S, S M, A, small businesses are capitalists. They C, O, M, P, E, they compete.
With each other and with larger.
With each other, yeah.
Right.
But, see, corporations don't compete.
Right. No, it's true. They get tax breaks, they get preferential zoning, you know, all those different things. They can hide their profits so they don't get taxed on it, so that means that less...
F I fix P R I prices.
Fixed prices, yes. The whole economy of scale, like places like Walmart and Target can dictate to their suppliers, you need to give us this many widgets at however many cents per crate. And if you don't do it, we'll go someplace else. So then the widget makers or shirt makers have to slash their wages and make it happen. Otherwise, they lose the business and they go out of business. Yeah, and like obviously like a smaller... I mean, that's actually really... How do you... And this is why a free market capitalism doesn't work, is because how do you regulate that to make sure that everything's even? Would you have such a huge economy of scale that you can't, by definition, it can't be even. Like, you can't, you know, so that's why it's ridiculous to talk about free market this or free market that, because it's not.
H-E-N, hence my T-A tax.
Yeah. And I think the important thing there, on a serious tip, is to figure out how...
I am serious.
No, I know. But no, but I mean, we're just kind of like talking, but in terms of like focusing on your platform, like trying to figure out how... Because this is one of the questions I had listening to the platform, is how do you make it impossible for corporations to just hide the money, you know, hide the profits, send it offshore, say, hey, you know what, we're not... You know, that's not taxable income. We don't have it. You can't make us... Okay, now, my answer would be, actually, kind of part of the answer, I think, would be using patriotism and using nationalism and saying,
yes,
you know what, if you're not, you know, you can't have, you know, U.S. contracts or government contracts, you're not going to get preferential treatment in certain arenas, whatever they may be. I mean, like I said, I'm just kind of thinking this up as we're going along, but if you're not, you know, fully paying taxes, you know, like, you can't incorporate in the state of Delaware, or if you do, then you come under federal, you know, like, have some kind of countrywide regulation that says you can't hide the money and just, you know, and just suck all the money out of the country without giving anything back.
A. L. Also. L. I. Limit. A. Corporation. 2. 1. Thing. Of. B. You, business.
Right. Yeah, so you wouldn't have, you know, a corporation with, like Seagram's that owns music companies, liquor companies, everything else in the world. Right.
Or every thing that G O goes in to a P R O product, or everything that goes into a product, won't have a corporation owning everything that goes into a product.
Like, I could see how that would work with, like, an automobile, but what about something that has a lot fewer parts? Like, how would that work? I mean, like a record company. Like, they could they own everything except for, like, a studio? Like, would there be weird loopholes where they would leave one thing off of the list of ingredients for their product and then they could have everything else?
No. One product.
Okay, so product. So say, you know, I'll talk record companies because obviously that's my day job. So, is marketing a product?
Not if it is for your record. But not am marketing other people's records, or S H O E, or shoes.
Right. Okay, I get it. So if it's a service, like a non-tangible service, like marketing, if it's related to your company's products, then it's all right. Okay. So, okay, here's a question. I mean, not to get too far into, too wonky about this.
You like this, though. Yeah, he likes this.
So the record label that I work for, we distribute other people's CDs and LPs and 7-inches. And, you know, we also produce our own records and, you know, manufacture them, distribute them, or send them to a distributor actually, and they distribute it. But in our mail order, we sell our records, and we also sell other people's products. Is that two businesses, like distributing? I mean, it could be. I mean, it kind of sounds like it is. But, you know, maybe it could be like a loophole.
We need to work the details out.
Okay, fair enough.
But you are doing it all. You and under your L label.
Well, we're not saying the other labels' records are our labels. No.
No, you don't mean that, right? You're saying all the under the label, it's part of the label to distribute other labels' music. When you say your mail order thing, is that part of the label, or is that something else?
Yeah, it's part of the label. Yeah. Yeah. But it's not. We don't have like a mission statement or anything. So.
Not. Like.
It's not a separate entity.
Right.
Yeah, no.
No.
Yeah. So, just saying. Like, maybe there's, like, a cap, like, above which, you know, it's somehow tied to the...
E-X, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you want to have the ability to kind of have an incubator kind of situation, perhaps. But then for businesses or small businesses, entrepreneurs, all that kind of crap. But crap, sorry, all that stuff. But then you want to encourage that kind of innovation and experimentation. But at a certain point, they have to spin off and just become their own entities. And that way, they sink or swim.
Give not H U huge P R profits. Not huge profits. That point where they start, that's what you're concerned about, a corporation having huge profits.
Where they have like subdivisions within subdivisions, and everybody's kind of, it's kind of like, you know, inbred, where everybody's making all the parts for this one product, but they're all kind of taken for it somehow. And I don't know what the example of that is, but that's kind of what
right. Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's the way to do it, you know. So basically you're saying like where the whole group of companies is making a profit off of each piece of the process.
N O now A F E a few corporations. ACT actually own most of the businesses.
Right. And a few individuals are owners of those corporations.
Right.
Yeah. Talk about oligarchy. You know, it's happening now. And that's why things like the estate tax are so important, you know. And you have, like, the rich people of, like, the last century, they knew that having an estate tax was good because it, you know, basically chipped out the support for an inbred aristocracy, economic aristocracy. And, you know, and today's aristocrats are trying to, you know, hold on to their parents, their grandparents, their great-grandparents' profits. And it's like, you know...
And
we're not Britain, you know. We don't have a.
Oh.
our class system isn't as
two?
Pronounced.
Or to O? Oh. No. I? And to O? Oh. You? Our? C? O? M? Common? C? You? Culture? And to our common culture. They are T trying to own our common culture.
Yes, I liked what you said about the copyrights and the patents. I think it's, and I also noticed the part about the publicly funded institutions, very University of California at Berkeley related. Yeah, it's insane, you know. The idea of being able to patent the human genome or to patent a sheep. Ridiculous. Kind of disgusting.
Or C O copyright A F A I R fairy tale.
Right.
That is that you M A made a movie of.
Right. Oh, did Disney do that with what movie?
All of them.
I'm somebody who wants artists to get paid, and obviously, you know, better to be an artist who survives off one's work ethically than, you know, working at McDonald's or whatever. But at the same time, I mean, there's fair use and there's parody use, and after a certain amount of time, it's like, how long can you live off of Mickey Mouse, you know? Make something new.
O. R. Original. C. O. Copyrights. Was for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you could R E
renew.
Renew it.
Yeah.
One
time. That's right.
One time.
Yeah. There was the original copyright was 10 years, and then was that in the Constitution?
Yes.
Yeah, and then, but the thing in the Constitution says something like a reasonable amount of time. And of course now, thanks to Disney, that's become like 150 years or some very unreasonable amount of time. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like the idea of ownership, it's at this point, like the original, unless the last name is Disney, the people who are profiting off this aren't the people who came up with, you know, these icons of our culture, you know. I mean, it's the publishing companies or the people who, you know, ripped off the original blues artists for the, you know,
yes.
For, you know, $5 back in 1953.
Do.
They're the ones who are making the money.
But they, kept, W, S, A, saying, C, O, copyright, is, P, R, protecting, the artist.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's kind of like that cliche about voting. If it did, it would be illegal. You know? But, I mean, I think, but there's a lot of people out there who are doing things like, Creative Commons, like there's the different ways of dealing with copyright where the artist is protected, but you know, there's different ways to license it out so that it stays like logical and realistic, and it's not just, You know, Creative Commons is one. I don't know if there's actually any others.
They are trying to make that illegal.
Oh, are you serious? That's I don't know how they can do that. If like artists say this is how people like I made this song. My band and I made this song. I wrote the lyrics. This is how it can be used. You know, you can't tell me that I have to allow that to be like that. I can't allow that to be used in any way that I wish. You know, if it seems so. I'd like to see that hold up in court because I don't think it can hold up in court. Like maybe the first couple.
H. E. Hey. The. C. O. Courts. U. Up. Held. The. P. A. Patent. On. L. I. Life.
On living, yeah. Yeah.
They. You. They upheld. The. C. O. R. Corporation. S. U. I. Suing. A. F. A. R. Farmer. Oh, that's the genetic.
The GMO, right?
Because their patented seed got onto the farmer's land, so they sued the farmer and won, right?
Yeah, it's not perfect. But you know, but also look, you can also look back and say, okay, the courts upheld all these nasty things, and then years later came back to them and said, you know what, maybe we were wrong. You know, like with sodomy, you know, or you know, separate but equal. I mean, there's a lot of things that have been overturned over the years, and you know, I think for almost you can, I would just be more optimistic. Maybe that's why I'm in politics. In spite of that.
That is why I am running.
Because you're optimistic. Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a really optimistic platform, you know, obviously.
And
but it's really positive is kind of what I like.
And P. R. O. Pro. B. I. S. Business and pro business.
Right.
They would not P. A. Pay for P. E. N. S. Pension or insurance. The businesses wouldn't have to pay for those things. Or H. Health care.
Right. Well, that's the thought about a lot of the universal health care activism in the future is because these huge corporations are saying, wait a second, our backs are being broken by paying health care for our employees, you know, under contract. So, you know, that's going to be like one of the strange bedfellows of the 21st century is, you know, the universal health care people and the major corporations. And but honestly, in our society, it's crazy to say it, but it's true. Like, we... Like, as a society, when it affects businesses, suddenly it's a problem. And suddenly stuff gets done. So, you know.
And they get highly ed educated workers, the businesses.
Oh, from this, yeah.
Out of
Frank's definitely.
Platform.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I think a lot of businesses are bemoaning right now. Mm. You know, I mean, I think some of like the H-1B visas, the visas that they bring over folks from like other countries who are highly technical workers, engineers and such, like they, you know, there's a question about whether or not, A, you need that many visas, like are there enough folks who are born and raised here who can fill those jobs or not. But even if there are, the perception is that the educational system here is so broken that there's the skill level in those numbers aren't here in our country anymore, you know. Okay, I had these Russians on my Kallik show. This really relates, I swear.
Yes.
I these Russians came over. They're environmental activists, a couple scientists, and they're all young. They're like, you know, in their 20s, 18 to 25 probably. And they were over here as part of a delegation for, I don't remember, the Center for something was, one thing was called the Open Source Center, I think. I'm not really sure. But anyway, but I recorded a bunch of shows with them about nuclear issues, about waste, new reactors, cleaning up old reactors, renewable energy in Russia, people's, the kind of the person on the streets, attitudes towards renewable energy versus nuclear, all these different kinds of issues. And we had an interpreter, which is good, because I don't speak Russian, and most of my listeners probably don't either. So, but, and they had some English, and so we had a pretty good conversation, but I was so impressed. Like, they just came over, and I would ask them a question. They would say, well, usually in Russian, you know, they would have these huge answers that were very specific, but and very in detail, and I just was watching them speak and listening to them speak, and they were very sure of themselves. I mean, of course, they are the people who were chosen to come, you know, 10,000 miles on a plane to visit, so obviously they're kind of the cream of the crop. But even so, I was really, I sat there watching them and listening, and I started thinking about our educational system, which is probably unfair in some ways, because I'm sure we could, you know, find some really bright kids from, you know, all over the place to go over there to do the same thing. But at the same time, it really struck me that I don't run into a lot of people their age who have even, you know, a tenth of their, you know, they're very self-assured, very, not arrogant at all, but self-assured in terms of like they knew what they're saying, they knew their subject, and they were able to really quickly respond to questions from, you know, all over the map, you know, and it was, you know, really fun, entertaining, and educational show.
We are losing in the BU business, BEC, because we can not see O compete B E because they have A B better E educated work pool.
I think in part, yeah. And I think also, I think, you know, as Americans, I think sometimes we get, well, no, a lot of times, I think we go for the lowest common denominator. We let ourselves become stupid and, you know, watch, you know, nasty things on TV that are just pointless, even if they are like candy. Like, you know, there's like shows that are just completely worthless as art, as entertainment, as, you know, they're, but you can't stop watching them because it's like cotton candy, you know, you just have to keep on going. But I think we're fed on a diet, not this show, of course. This
S E E I C where S U R V I V O
Survivor
is nominated, no, is B R E breaking the T E A M S teams.
Oh, up into racial.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we can have our own race riots on our TV sets now. It's awesome. In tropical settings. That'd be great. Sorry.
We could not have C-O come up with that.
Yeah, I know. I know. What's his face? Helter Skelter.
Charles Manson
is just kicking himself right now. He's like, I should have gone to the network TV. You know, I could have had it all in front of me, but no, I had to go the murder route instead.
What? H. A. Happened to him. He was a G. O. O. Good. S. I. N. Singer. We have a couple of his CDs that have been reissued.
Right. I don't know, you know. He didn't get his record contract and went downhill from there. Yeah. No, but, you know, I really think that, I mean, you know, I really get bummed out because I think, you know, like, this is a huge, huge country. Like, we have a lot of, you know, great things in our country. But we're just killing ourselves by being stupid. Like, we're willfully stupid.
Yes.
We say, yeah, you know what, we really care about some girl who fell down a well while, yeah, I mean, which, that's sad and all, you know, like, you know, boo-hoo, girl falls down a well. Meanwhile, like, you have people starving in the streets. You know, literally starving in the streets of every frickin' large city in our frickin' country. And that's not a problem?
For no reason.
For no reason, yeah. You know, and it's been happening for, like, what, 20 years now? 25 years, say, 1980 to now. Like, it's really gotten intense, insanely awful. And, you know, obviously, like, you know, things like Katrina, Iraq War, blah, blah, blah. You know, we could go down the list of, you know, current things. But even long-running economic and social injustices are just, you know, they're just buried. They're, you know, they're not sexy. They don't sell, you know, unlike, you know, Survivor or Sex in the City or whatever guilty pleasures, you know, we all kind of bite into once in a while on the television screen, you know, or the radio or the iPod or the this or the that. And, like, I love technology. And I'm not somebody who's going to be, you know, you have to break all your, you know, you have to start being barefoot. But
and I...
At the same time...
And I get shit about your shows. He gets shit about his shows, and
right.
There's all those kind of shows on that are winning awards.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's, and, you know, on KLX, I have to worry about, you know, if we broadcast tits, because that's one of the seven dirty words. You know, it's like, why does nobody cares if some punk rocker from Britain in 1978 wrote a song that had the word tits in it? Like, I'm sorry, that's not gonna cause your child to beat up another kid at school. You know, it's just not gonna happen. It's not gonna make that person a lesser person.
P. E, people. N, E, never. A, N, answer. A, N, A. L, analyze. The, L, A, lack of. L, O, logic. In that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, and that's something, you know, I learned how to analyze things and like think things through and take one my time and like, you know, I get caught up in stupid things too, you know, okay. But at the same time, I know when I'm doing it, I know that whatever show is crappy. I know it's not healthy. I know that, you know, when I go and I buy a shoe that has made by, you know, Stubby the three-fingered Malaysian boy, I know that my shoe is made out of, you know, a kid getting, you know, taken advantage of and probably starving and probably being beaten. Okay, well, but like the people who, but it's not okay, but like that like that knowledge and ability to analyze it is missing, and it's not taught.
A S H I shitty, and it is a shitty shoe.
I'm not wearing those, by the way, because I don't actually buy those. But I'm saying, using that, you know, like this is, sorry, whoops. Like this is probably a, well, this is used. Well, you know, there's got to be something I'm wearing that's new that was made by a sweatshop, you know, not my shoes actually. But, you know, but, and if you even talk about these things, you're looked upon as, you know, well, you're just a weirdo Berkeley liberal. It's like, well, first of all, I'm from Philly. Second of all.
Hey, me too.
Yeah, it's, second of all, it's not. Woohoo! Philly in the mouth.
Philly moment.
Yeah.
That. E. X. Explains a lot, right? That explains a lot.
I've heard that, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of us, you know. But yeah, you know, first of all. But second of all, like, it's not weird to say, to know or want to know where what you buy is from and like what your dollars are paying for and what they're supporting. Like that's ethics 101.
U-H-E-N. Hence my, one of your platforms, my A, B, O, U, about, P, R, O, profits, product,
Proving.
No, products, S, O,
living up to the labor and environmental laws.
Social, right, yeah.
Right, so they have to meet or exceed the U.S. labor
regulations. Oh, is that what you meant? No matter where they were produced?
Right.
Yes, which is great.
And of course, you know, as soon as I heard that though, I thought, oh, so they'll just like, you know, knock out American labor laws, to lower them to the level of the sweatshops, but that's just me being cynical.
It, A, actually, will, would, do the reverse, because, N, O, now, they, are you using F O R foreign foreign people to do jobs, to make products? To F O R force the workers in the U.S. Right. to take lower if they want to.
Right.
Right. If you want to keep the work here, you can't ask for so much money. You right. can't ask for so many benefits.
Right, right.
Where? In this, there is a E equal B A base.
Right. Both foreign and domestic products are coming from the same starting point. Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Is my single side would say, well, then they're going to just lower the base on the domestic side even further. But, you know, that's... But I agree that I think that's the least you can do is make it, you know, even or better than U.S. Because I think we can protect things in the U.S. a lot easier than we can overseas. So.
Yes.
I can tell you about the Green Party and the endorsements they made today.
He could tell you about the Green Party and the endorsements they made today.
Okay.
Go.
All right. Well, we just did...
I will get be back to your being... My campaign manager.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Oh, I know. But I, since I brought this over long, I figured we'll just go through it real quick. I'll be as quick as possible. We'll start. We'll go back to talking about. So these were all local, all the local races and local ballot measures. There's no state ones on here. There's no statewide campaigns or. Statewide or even countywide propositions or measures. You know, I mean, the Green Party got together. Oh, and these are, but just real quickly, these are officially these are recommendations to the Green Party at the county level, and but the county level always basically goes with whatever the local says. Like, so if the Alameda, the city, or the city of Oakland Greens. Say we want to support, you know, John Smith for mayor. The county says, okay, well,
me,
or Frank Moore for president in 2008. Uh-huh. Then the, well, actually, you know, or if you ran for mayor in 2008, and Berkeley said we recommend Frank Moore for Berkeley mayor in 2008, then the county will say, yeah, fine, great, you know, just write it up and it'll come
would.
Up in that little. Voter.
Would they?
I don't know. Seriously, like the mayor's race is so in flux. Not for this year anymore, but like if you had asked in January who was running, you could say Tom Bates, for sure, and that would be it. That would be the only definite one.
Will, May. Maybe that is why Kay, Chris didn't come tonight. Aha. Uh-huh. And did not A answer. Right. He didn't answer any of the invitations, which is unusual for him.
I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe.
Is he running for mayor?
No, not this year.
No.
No. But, you know, I mean, he's definitely
some.
He's definitely one of the people who wouldn't, who would be happy to run for and win mayor in Berkeley. I don't think that's odd to say. That's not news, I don't think.
I have been pushing him to do that for years.
Yeah. You're not alone. So anyway, so we kind of went into it, and this is what we came up with. For mayor, there's four people running. Christian Pico, I think is how you say his name, known as the Kid. There's Zachary Running Wolf. There is Zelda Bronstein. And there is the incumbent, Mayor Tom Bates. After a lot of discussion, we endorsed Zelda for mayor, which is a pretty big deal because, I mean, Tom Bates is seen as someone who, at least at the time of the taping of this show, is someone who has a pretty good chance of winning. I think that's a fair thing to say. But at the same time, a lot of his former supporters feel very alienated based on things that have gone on in the past 4 years. Things like campaign finance reform, things like the UC deal between the city and the UC settlement. And I think last time the Green Party, I wasn't at that meeting, but they fought to, they had a big discussion about whether or not to endorse him. And people like Donna Spring and Chris Worthington encouraged him to run, and people in the Green Party also really worked strongly to get him elected, you know, as well as people who didn't like Shirley Dean, who was the other major candidate. So, you know, so now a lot of those people who work for him, including myself, are not supporting him this time around. And
I was, no, and in G General Berkeley SERV services have dropped the quality.
And also there's issues around development, and I think he's seen as a very pro-development mayor at the cost of neighborhood issues and the issues of neighbors, you know. I think he has I'm the chair of the Disaster and Fire Safety Commission, and I work very well with Tom Bates on issues of disaster. He's been very supportive, but that's a nonpartisan issue, so I kind of have two faces. I have nonpartisan Jesse, and then I have partisan Jesse. So tonight it's partisan Jesse, obviously, because nonpartisan Jesse is really boring, you know, talking about disaster and fire safety, and I mean, it's really important, probably the most important work I do, but it's doesn't make for fascinating TV.
We have a rat. We have a rat problem under our house who's eating away at our furnace stuff.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know, it was about 3 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we also had some rodent stuff happening. And I was able to call. I had no idea who to call. I just called the information, the city off main line. I said, this is what I need. They put me right in touch with somebody. She answered her phone. She was over here that afternoon. She was completely available anytime I called her for a number of issues. This time, now 4 years later, she came over to the house a number of times. And G gave us TR traps. I don't remember. She might have offered us the traps, but we ended up not taking traps. So when we came up with this rodent thing, I thought, oh, I'll just call her. You know, she was great. And so she's not there anymore.
Right.
And then I tried to find who it was, and I left a lot of messages and finally found the right person to leave a message for. A week and a half, 2 weeks later, the guy finally called me back. And he was nice enough, but it was a really drop in quality.
Right.
It was a whole different ball game.
Well, yeah, I mean, the city budget has been, that's a whole other bucket of wax that makes people's eyes glaze over, but it hits everything. Like, it hits every single part of the city, and, you know, people, we see that in disaster issues, we see it in just, like, the day-to-day service issues. People are overworked, they don't have realistic work plans, things that should take half a day take 3 weeks, you know? I mean, it's really, it's insane. But anyway, and that is not all due to Tom Bates. It's not.
But
it certainly hasn't been helped, I think.
H.A. happened. It all seemed to turn around the time he took office.
Yeah, I mean, again, I got to be fair. Like, there were things around back in the dot-com bubble. The state told all the cities, you don't have to worry about your pension plans. You know, you can have these great contracts with your city employees for your pension plans that pay these fantastic benefits because this is, you know, not going to stop. This is just great. We've drunk the Kool-Aid, and boy, does it taste delicious. And obviously that stopped. And so all of a sudden, there are all these unfunded costs in the pension plans. And this is where, actually, a lot of people on kind of the more conservative side of things fiscally, even at Berkeley, say that, oh, this is the city's problem. They negotiated these contracts, and it's really screwed up that they did that, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, no. They negotiated those contracts for two reasons. One, because every other city was doing that, and if you don't have, you know, comparable contract, you're going to have crappy firefighters, and you're going to have crappy policemen and policewomen. You're going to have crappy civil servants because they're going to be the ones who will settle for the bottom of the barrel offer, frankly. Number one. And number two, because the state said, yeah, go ahead. Don't worry about it. We got it. It's going to be fantastic. And so they believe that, unfortunately. And so when the bottom dropped out, the state turned around and said, whoops, we were wrong. It's your problem now. You got to balance your own budgets. We're not going to give you any money because, you know, money flows uphill while crap flows downhill. And it ends at the city. You know, like the cities are the final level, you know, and we get nothing. And so that happened all at the same time. So, and that had nothing to do with Bates. So at the same time, I think, like, on development, on the UC deal, I think he's someone who is used to working in Sacramento, you know. He's a Sacramento politician. And he did great, very progressive things in Sacramento, but we didn't see the deals that went down. We didn't see how things were manipulated behind closed doors. And that was fine, because all we care about are results. But when it's on the local level, in front of your face, and it affects, you know, your neighbors.
H-E-H-I-T-O told you. That's right. That's right. In, on, T, A, on tape. That this would happen with Tom Bates. And that S, H, O, show. And that shows. And that show, K, keeps playing. It keeps getting repeated. So the viewers probably have seen it more than once.
Well, there you go, you know. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so for me, Partisan Jesse, you know, like Zelda Bronstein, like I've worked with her a bunch of times, connected to three different organizations, and she's somebody, as well as just watching her, you know, at the city level, like, you know, on BTV or wherever, talking at the city council.
Will she come on this show?
That's a great question.
It is a T E test.
I know. It's a test. I'll pass it on. Definitely. Like, I think that'd be great. I think it would be really refreshing for her to have questions that are, like, I've said this before on the air, like, I appreciate your questions. You don't stop. You don't let people get away with just saying something mealy-mouthed and just kind of wander off, you know, which is uncomfortable being the person who's being questioned, but I think it makes for a better, more information. I think it makes for a better interview.
It don't. It R E V reveals who you really are. And you and you K E keep coming back.
Oh yeah.
You. You are either R E A really S stupid or or really H O N honest and C A R I caring.
Well, obviously, I hope that people believe the latter.
they can decide.
Yes.
Let the viewers
absolutely
decide.
Anyway, but yeah, you know, it's true. But I really enjoy it.
Amy Allison would not.
Oh, really?
Well, she put restrictions on it. Mm-hmm. She said she would come back. I think it was when we invited her to this one or the last one we did with you and Chris. Mm-hmm. She said she would come back, but she would only stay for an hour. Mm-hmm. And Frank said it's a 2-hour show. We don't do that.
That sucks.
That was the last we heard of her. A. M. B. Ambitious.
Oh, she's ambitious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she's... Yeah, I think she's great. Like, I seriously... She's just tops. So, I'm sorry she failed your test. But I still think she's tops.
Not my test. Their test.
Right, sorry. Yeah, okay, fine.
I. J. Just. Give. Them. The. I. N. F. Oh, information.
And they pass or fill. Yeah.
Is that no? Who's the audience? It's the audience's test.
Oh, okay.
That she failed, and Frank is saying he just gives the audience the information, mm-hmm. and they decide.
Well, yeah. Like I said, she's good people. I think she's gonna be great on the Oakland City Council, and I think she has enough people behind her who really helped her come up through the grassroots. I think we're all going to be making sure that her feet are held to the fire.
That was what
yes,
you
but,
said about but, Tom Bates.
I know. I know. That,
4 years from now, we're going to have a change of move. And Frank was like, I told you.
And we'll have the split screen. We'll have the split screen. It'll be great. I can't wait. And I'll still be dumb enough, I mean, honest and caring enough to come on the show.
Even after we start listing all the people.
No, but you know, but the huge difference between Amy and Tom is that their background. Like, Tom comes from 20 years in Sacramento.
She is S E Sexy? That's another big difference.
That's a huge difference, I suppose, yeah.
But and and I am E, and I mean S-E, and I mean sexy, in A, all, A-L, I, V, alive, in an alive sense, sexy in an alive sense.
Like vivacious,
like
vital.
Vital, uh-huh. Juicy, like having a life zest kind
right.
of thing, which
definitely.
Is sexy to be like that.
Yeah, no argument. I mean, she's full of fire, you know. So what I was going to say, if I can get back to the Berkeley. So I think everybody should definitely, you know, if you're in Oakland, check Amy out. I think she's fantastic. And she doesn't have the history of Sacramento backdoor crap.
F.
See you in 4 years.
And C. O. M. B. R. Compromise. She doesn't have the history of compromise that Bates had.
Right. And, you know, that's something that...
But...
is easy to fall into.
But her ambition will or could get in the way.
I
T.
See in 4 years. I don't know.
I and L E S less L E S S less S E and then she'll be less sexy. Compromise isn't sexy. Is your C A N D candidate sexy? The woman that Frank just invited onto the show.
She's definitely full of fire. I don't know if I would describe her as sexy. I don't really... Why not? Well, because I've never really, you know, like, she's definitely full of fire. She's very vital, zesty. Though to me, I use sexy in kind of a different. I think of it differently, more directly concerned with
what. What is sexy to you?
None of these candidates are sexy to me.
Including Amy, or are you talking about? Because you said Amy, you thought was sexy.
I thought she was under that definition. Yeah, definitely.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Like, but you're saying under that definition, none of those candidates
well, I guess,
are sexy.
I guess under that definition, I think Zelda's pretty. Yeah, she's kind of the same way in terms of like really. Though she's someone who's very focused and very like she knows like the different like for instance, and this is total wonk craziness. Like she knows the West Berkeley plan, the downtown area plan, the this plan, and that plan, like the back of her hand. She can quote a chapter and a verse.
T. I stick with is she sexy?
Well, what I'm saying is, like, can somebody who can quote you, like, the amount of muley versus industrial zoning, can you call that sexy?
No.
Okay, then. I mean, like, she's...
B... E, because, H, because B, O, both, B, R, O, W, both brown, S, both browns, could, do that.
Yeah, definitely.
Not sexy.
Right. True enough. But, so the Greens came out in favor of Zelda Brownstein, and I think that was a surprise to people, because I think people were lining up behind
He's changed
Bates.
The subject. Is that what
well, I'm trying to get some kind of, extra information in here, and then we can go back to if she's sexy. Okay. But because, a lot of people have lined up behind Tom Bates, and so, he's trying to build an unstoppable momentum where it just doesn't make sense for anybody to stand up. And so I think for Zelda, I think the Green Party is an important endorsement, because we're the first ones who have said, hey, wait a second, we don't like the development, we don't like the UC deal, we don't like the campaign finance sellout. And, we may not be backing a winning candidate this time around, but you can trust that the Green Party actually, for instance, in this case, actually stands for something. They're not just saying, oh, we're going to just throw a lot in with a winner. Like when I ran for Berkeley City Council in 2004, I found a lot of self-described card-carrying progressives backing my opponent, the moderate one, not the far right one, Larry Capitelli, because he was, quote-unquote, a sure win. And so you had people who were very progressive saying, yeah, well, Larry is a realtor and a self-described developer, but, we don't want to get on his bad side. So we're going to endorse him, even though you're the progressive, you're the renter, you actually agree with us.
That is not sexy.
Exactly. That is definitely not sexy. And so the Green Party, I guess you could say, decided to come out with a fig leaf over its private parts and be sexy.
Is she sexy?
I don't think so. But I think she's a good candidate.
And can not W and cannot win.
So do you want her on your show?
You said that, not me. Oh, that she's not sexy. You didn't say she is that. No, he said what? Not you. That she can not. Oh, she win. You said she cannot win.
Right now, as of this taping, it's probable that she won't win. But the thing is, there's a groundswell going on, so
and
maybe she can pull it out.
She is not sexy. A C C according to you.
I can see this now. You're gonna have her come on the air, and it'll just they'll be like a little, what do you call those, like a caption?
Subtitles?
Yeah, like
captions, right? Maybe.
Maybe we can both be on. That'd be great.
This.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, you and her?
Yeah.
Maybe.
They can ask me in front of her.
There. Yes, you know he would.
Oh, yeah, I know. I figure I might as well just get it out there, before you think of it yourself.
C O N C O N N E connection, and there is a connection between sexy and winnable. Maybe, and there may be a connection between being sexy and being a winnable candidate. Or being not sexy and being a non-winnable candidate.
Tom Bates. Not sexy.
W. E. Well. I would not call him A, winnable candidate. A, W, I, a winner. You wouldn't call him a winner. Or even A, S, H, O, E, or even a shoo-in.
I hope you're right. I mean, I'm supporting the, you know, one of his opponents, so I think it'd be healthier for the city
but
if she won.
You just said you don't
win. Look, there's a difference between what I mean. I don't know what
H E hey I like I will W I hey I will win.
Okay, you will win because you're sexy. That's a given.
E, exactly.
I saw that one coming from a mile away, but
that is the O N only W A the only way to E N enter a race is to say I'm gonna win and I am sexy.
Right. Well, since I'm not Zelda, I can't say that.
But you are S supporting her candidacy.
Right. And I hope that she wins. And I think that
you're saying there's a difference between I hope that she'll win and saying she's going to win.
Oh, right. Well, if I was, like, I think there's definitely ways that she can win, right? It would be a shocker in terms of, like, the name recognition and the amount of money that's been raised so far.
I think it is not that F A far O far off
that she could
yeah
I mean part of the problem is sometimes like I just came from a bunch of people who pay incredibly close attention to local politics, and then I think people in that situation, you kind of sometimes forget to step outside and take the pulse of people. And that's what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. This is what I was trying to get at, is there is a groundswell of people who are pissed off at the current mayor and who want a change. Like, you have people on both sides of the mayor, on the progressive side, on the moderate side, who are fed up. They don't want to vote for him. They will not vote for him. And so who do they go to?
S. So...
What I'm saying is that there's a really possible...
Give them...
That's the way she's going
to win. A candidate. Give them a... S. E. Sexy... candidate.
Don't look at me. I'm just... I'm supporting who I think is the best candidate. And she...
Is she sexy?
Is she sexy? Not in my definition of sexy, but... In your definition
what?
Of sexy,
what is your definition of sexy?
Started to say before, way back when, probably about 15, 20 minutes ago.
A, Emma, A, amazing. I cannot T, A, talk. You cannot talk and you're holding this conversation. Yes.
I'm being polite. You're the host. No, no. My definition of sexy has much more to do with sex and attraction than vitality, or like it's much more of a base. And so she does not attract me.
Are not you A, attracted to G, no, to V, I, T, vital, vitality? Aren't you attracted to vitality?
On a personal level, but that's not, to me, that's not, like, there's, to me, there's a difference between sex, like, the kind of sexual attractiveness, sexual attraction and personal attraction. For me, they're generally pretty separate. And this, I know this is kind of right into your ballywick here. So.
How so? About the difference you were just saying.
It's just, I have to admit, I have not really looked, like, analyzed why or how or what the exact boundaries are. But they're there, so I don't really feel like I don't use that term.
Is K R Chris Worthington sexy?
By my definition, no. But
how not?
Because I'm not sexually attracted to him.
Okay. So, all right. So he's.
I'm being much more literal about the word, I think.
Frank's definition of sexy is broader.
Right.
It's not limited. It's right. A broader definition. So he's able to say somebody is sexy and not think in terms of, does that mean I want to have sex with them?
Right.
It has to do with just like a thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a certain juicy quality that you right. would that he's saying you could call sexy. It right. doesn't mean you want to have sex with the person,
right.
but you there is a certain turned on level about being around somebody who's sexy, even mm-hmm. though you don't want to have sex with them.
Mm-hmm.
You can just enjoy that they have vitality.
Right.
And so that's the way he's describing mm-hmm. sexy. So it doesn't mean he necessarily wants to have sex with whoever he's talking about.
No, I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of why like we've been kind of answering different questions, I think. With like, you know, like no, you know what? Zelda Bronstein is not my type.
So is he, she sexy? Zelda? Is Zelda sexy in Frank's definition?
Yeah. I would say so. You know, the, with a heavy emphasis on the land use issues. There you go.
So when you say Amy Allison is sexy, what would the heavy emphasis be on her? Oh.
Yeah.
Obviously, he... Don't think she's sexy. Don't. Obviously he. No, she. Obviously you. He. Don't. He wants to have sex with a Amy Allison. And F O L K folks on and folks you H heard it. You heard it here.
No, that's not true. But yeah. That's ridiculous. But I'm telling you, land use.
You. Land use. R. S. E. X. You are sexy.
Thank you. I'll take that whatever way you want to go. I'm not even gonna.
You? You should. You use. You should use it more.
How?
I'm not sure how to say it.
Come back. tell me next time.
No, I mean, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I do totally know what you're saying, but, like, I'm not exactly sure. Maybe it's just by giving it value or seeing that it can benefit your interests and your goals. I think the reason I have a hard time saying what does that mean, it's more like I can't picture specifically what it would mean, but I think what it has to do with is there perhaps is a quality where because you don't give it value, you don't let it be part of your political activities. So although one can feel that there is that vitality and passion, it's kind of more staid and controlled. And if you gave it value, it would seep out more in ways that I can't even, like, say, you know. But it would just be kind of more there, and it would attract people to what you're saying. And it would probably even affect the way you talk about the things you're interested in. There would be more juice, and you'd still get your message across, but it would be more, it would, like, pull people in more.
Sure, basically getting more comfortable with speaking in terms of like I think of like the Bush dyslexicon, where he, you know, like the analysis of his speeches. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm President Bush, goodness gracious, no, but that when he's sure about something, he just goes on, he just hits it, and he doesn't mispronounce things, or if he does, it's kind of cute. You know, but he just goes forward, and he's very sure about what he's saying and how he's saying it. And if he's not sure about something, or if it's something to do with certain issues, like helping people instead of bombing the crap out of them, then he's much more tentative, like that. You know, and he starts to stumble over words more.
Like how you are on the R.
On the radio, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a much more natural place for me than speaking to a bunch of people in suits.
So that's why you're saying use that in your politics.
No, I totally agree. Like, in terms of, you know, I mean, but that's a question of, like, getting more comfortable. And also, you know, like, you know, I curse like a sailor. You know, I haven't done that today except for saying tits.
F. You, fuck, how, why, not, well, fuck, why not?
I don't know. It's, you know, it's kind of like I'm practicing. It's like I'm training for being on the radio. Because unfortunately in our country, we can't say fuck on the radio. There you go. You know, I mean... And, you know, for me, it makes me have to fill in my words with not just using fuck as a pause, as a well or an you know, because a lot of times you use, or I use those words as kind of like a linguistic pause. So, you know, instead of saying or well, say fuck, well, you know, and it's lazy. It's, you know, like when I should just say something that has meaning. Like if I say fuck,
B,
I want it to mean fuck.
A, back, to, S, sexy. Right. So I think the main thing is I think if you gave, if you had confidence and gave it value in your political thing, because even like what you were just saying just now, like that was a very unsexy way of approaching it. It was very kind of controlled and contained and like thought. And so like if you were giving value to the sexiness, you would trust yourself more and you wouldn't feel like you had to do that. I don't say fuck much. No.
Yeah.
But I don't think I shouldn't. I don't think I have to T-R-A train myself not to.
Right.
T-R-A training C-O-M-E come A, C, across as S, T, I, stiff.
Could you read that?
Training comes across as stiff. Like when you look at it as you're training yourself, that comes across as stiff. And he's saying that he doesn't say fuck much, but he doesn't think he has to train himself not to say it.
The thing, because I worry, because we have the FCC. So I mean, I have to worry. You know, I get yanked off the air, our station gets fucked. And when I say fucked, I do mean, you know.
You're not talking about that, maybe. You're talking about something different.
I'm trying to explain why I feel that I have to do this. And like that, and to me that's a really serious issue and a really, you know, that would be a really hellish situation to be thrown into. And so that's something that I can stop by not saying whatever words usually come out of my mouth in daily life. And I kind of feel that if I go into political society, like, you know, if I'm speaking to the city council, I'm not going to say, I'm not going to talk to them like I talk to somebody down at Gilman Street or at a punk rock show. I'm not going to talk to them in the same manner.
Yeah, but I think the point is the point is how you're approaching it. It's not to not say it. It's the way you're looking at it. Like Frank is saying, he doesn't say fuck much, but he doesn't look at it as him training not to. That's the difference. Like he's saying the looking at it as training is the stiff part. So in other words, he's saying there's a way to accomplish what you want to accomplish, but by approaching it in a different way. That's the approach is the problem.
Sounds great to me. There's a better way to do it. Down.
S E sexy. You are sexy. But you are T R trying to be something other than that, to be kind of like this. K. R. Chris Worthington. Don't try to be something other than that. A. Amy Allison. At. L. At least. Two. To me, to this P point, don't try to not be sexy. She may, at some point down the road, she S A. She said. P. People. R. P. You. Putting. P. Pressure on her. Two. Not be sexy.
I don't think it's a good thing. I mean, at the same time, though, I mean, part of me says, well, should it really be about whether... Yes, okay. Like, isn't what you... the substance of what you say also important?
Who?
As well as how you say it.
Who you are. Who you are is everything.
No argument. I mean, look, I mean... You can take the thing of saying of, but I think a combination is really important to keep in mind. Like, you know, Tom Bates. No, okay, I'll use a totally different example. You can have somebody who comes in and says all the right things, and they may even be sexy, but they may not meet them, and then they get into office and they screw you over. But hey, they had that special something. You know, I mean, what I'm trying to get at, it's not a guarantee of...
No, but it is a...
Indicator?
An indicator of and, no, of and... A. G. Great. T. O. O. Tool.
I'm with you. I'm not disagreeing at all with that.
H. E. Hence. The. T. I. T. Title. Of this P R O program, Passion Politics, Part 2.
Sorry, I'm not providing as much passion as I need to. Maybe next time. If there's next time.
He said, maybe next time. Sorry, you said, sorry, you're not what? As much passion?
Emitting as much passion as
I should.
I'm remiss.
Capable of.
Yes. I'll work on that before next time. If there is next time, which I hope there is.
D. S. So. Is not G R E E greens S E sexy? You're talking about Zelda? Is that her name, Zelda? Or just in general, the greens are not the greens sexy?
Yeah, they have to be. Otherwise, they would be the Democrats, the Republicans.
E, exactly.
It's no brainer.
S. So. Give. Us. C. A. Candidates. Who. Are. Sexy.
Yeah. She's not a green.
She's not a green. She's just who the greens are supporting.
Yeah. In California, the Democratic clubs cannot endorse anybody who's not a Democrat. However, which is ridiculous because a lot of times, especially like the Wellstone Democrats, Progressive Democrats of America, et cetera, they want to endorse a Green or Peace and Freedom or somebody who's not, you know, the local Democratic Party hack, and they can't. But Greens, like pretty much everyone else, can endorse whoever they think is the best candidate, regardless of party affiliation. So that's why...
S.
There's actually two Greens running for mayor, and we endorsed neither of them.
Are they two of those four?
Yeah, Christian and Zachary apparently are both Greens. And we talked about it and we're like, you know, Zelda's, you know, on much more knowledgeable about all the different issues and, you know, is really serious about running and really, like, you know, not a protest vote. She's someone who would be a good, actually good in the job. So, anyway, but, so that's an example.
Give. Know. Give us. S. E. Sexy. Candidates.
No matter what.
You're talking to the Green Party, you're saying give us sexy candidates. Yeah, so if whoever you're supporting is part of who you're giving us.
Yeah, if it helps, whatever we can do. I mean, it definitely, I mean, I understand the point of kind of like the, and since we already finished the endorsement process this year, I don't know how else we can improve that. But in general, yeah, I agree.
M. B. I. B. U. I. Building. You're building. This is part of a building process.
Okay.
It's a long-term process.
And we'll be talking about Mayor Zelda in 2 years and 4 years.
We'll be talking about Mayor Zelda in 2 years and 4 years.
And you'll be saying, not, see, I told you so.
Not A, C, C, according to you.
That's a crutch. It could happen. I hope it does. See, but you should fast forward past the first time I said that. And there's, I said stuff after that too, so I think you have
do
to.
I?
You can't be just can't cherry pick
e.
quotes.
A.
Without some sense
really,
of context.
Do I really want her on the show? No. Do I really want him? Do I really want him? A. As my campaign manager. If he's going to say, I hope he wins.
Well, I'm not her campaign manager either. If I were her campaign manager, I would say, of course, she's going to win. I'm a member of the peanut gallery at this point. I'm just throwing chills at the circus performance.
You. S. A. Unsalted, please. Oh, he's selling unsalted peanut shells.
Well, salty would be FCC friendly. So, but yeah, so we went through all the other ones too, and Donna Spring and Chris Worthington were both endorsed early on by the Greens. So those were actually pretty much no-brainers. And yeah, but I don't know. You probably don't want to hear the rest of them. So.
S. So. Do. You. Want. To. Be. My. Campaign manager.
Depends on how much work is involved. And when it starts. And, 'cause honestly.
K. N. O. It would start now.
Yeah. That's not going to work out. I can tell you right now.
H.
I'm so freaking overloaded.
Hey. H. I. L. Hillary Clinton was. And. J. O. John.
McCain.
Have started.
That's true. But I'm way overloaded. Like I can barely do the show.
he thinks it is not a P-U-T put on. He thinks it is not a put on.
You mean you wouldn't hire me? Oh.
No, that's not what he means.
You think...
It, my...
Your campaign.
Your campaign.
I don't think your campaign is a put on.
He does not think your campaign is a put on. I have not L M E met anyone who has thought it was or has treated it as a put on.
Good.
We've gotten last week was Jack Hirschman, who's, you know, voted the Chronicle called the world's greatest living poet. Mm-hmm. And him and his wife, Agneta, both endorsed Frank. John Sinclair was on before that. He endorses Frank. I mean, every single person, Gerald Smith, Sanders, Paul Krasner endorses Frank.
Great.
Will A. Annie Sprinkle endorses Frank.
There you go.
So, in other words, all those people, they're the people that we're naming that you would know their names.
Right.
But there's a whole lot more that don't have known names. Do, but, is, but on, the, S, T, street, on the street. People on the street also endorse your candidacy. W H O W H I, which T E tells you a lot about how people feel about what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like, your platform is really common sense. Like I said at the beginning of the show, like, I think it's really, you know, it's a serious platform. And it's pretty much, you know, it's probably almost done. I'm sure you can add stuff to it and, you know, maybe tweak a couple of things. But it's not as if you're going out in a clown suit. Or you're not, you know, like saying, you know, like Jill Biafra did in 79 with the mayor's race, you know, I mean, that was a joke candidacy, you know, purposefully, obviously, you know, that's not this. So, yeah, I think it's great. You know, but
Jay,
that said, you know,
you just the H-I-T hit M-E hitmen think my it is a put on. It's only the hitmen who think it's a put on.
Which probably makes it safer for you, really.
Exactly. O. N. Only. After. I. Am. Elected. Will they, will I, T, E, tell them
that
it wasn't a put on?
Smart move. By that point, of course, you'll have the full,
full
protection,
right.
Secret Service.
Yeah.
That's great. I'd love to endorse you.
He would love to endorse you. Great. Yeah.
I endorse you, I should say. I don't want to be...
You do endorse
yes,
him.
Yes, I don't want to be tentative.
Right.
I would love to endorse you in the future sometime. No, definitely.
Jay?
Add me to the list.
Yes. Not. For. Not of. Not I. E. N. Endorse. You. But. You. May. You can. Not. W. I. Win. I am not like the green candidate. A, if I am, if I was her, if I was her, I would K kill you.
Honestly, like, even if you're supporting somebody who you think, I'll be totally serious, like, if you're supporting somebody who you think may not have a huge chance of winning, I mean, obviously we think, that she has a chance, and, like, I've kind of said how that would happen. Like, there's this groundswell going on in Berkeley right now, so it is actually, it's certainly possible that she could win. However, like, right now, you know, I don't know. But the reason why it's important that the Green Party go ahead and endorse somebody who is facing such big odds right now, and maybe by the time this airs it'll be different, who knows, I really hope it is that it shows that the Green Party is, and, you know, whoever else endorses her, you know, is willing to say, okay, we're going to evaluate people based on what they say and their attributes and how we think they will be in performing the job, not in who has the biggest contributors, who has the best chance as called by, you know, a group of political insiders who kind of control everything, blah, 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 blah. We're going to go with our gut feeling of, like, what this person is actually saying and standing for. And that's how you build trust, because obviously the Republicans and Democrats have left that promise far behind decades ago. You know, if they ever believed in anything as a party, you know, I mean, I'm being ultra cynical, but it's true, you know. And that's why it's important that the Greens and everyone else stand up for people who they believe in. And, you know, maybe they'll lose. Ah, that's fine. Next time they won't. Or maybe the time after that they won't. You know, maybe they'll win this time.
For of I would S.A. I would say it is a uphill
yes.
battle.
That's a more political way to put it.
But I have not L-O lost a battle before, and they were all uphill battles.
Right.
So B A T E Bates, watch out.
I heard it here first.
That is S E sexy.
You should definitely have Zelda on. Give her tips.
Get her here.
Okay.
I and A S ask Chris why he didn't reply to being on the show tonight.
Sure. I don't know why he would tell me and not you, but...
He
is running for re-election.
You may see me, him. You may see him in P person. Right. If Frank ran into him in person, he'd probably tell Frank too.
Yeah.
But you have a better chance of running into him.
Right on. Yeah. Great. I'm sorry, I'm starting to fade.
Yeah. It's probably been a couple hours.
Yeah, 206.
Okay. Yeah. I L I listen to your show on Lover.
Oh, great.
Yes. A. F. E. A few. A few. That. I. Do. Listen to. Oh, he's right. He's saying that he doesn't listen to all of the shows on Lover. He only listens to certain ones that he likes because he doesn't screen out what plays on Lover.
Mm-hmm.
So he means it as a compliment.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I hope everybody tunes in either through the website or online through the radio.
Yeah.
Or terrestrially to the radio, 90.7 FM, KALX, in beautiful Berkeley.
And when is Jesse's show on Fridays at...
It's at 8 p.m.
Yeah, on Lover.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then live on the radio at Mondays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Woo-hoo! So,
drive time. Yes, literally tens of listeners.
Wow. No. So that's tomorrow morning.
That's tomorrow morning, that's right.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, so I'm kind of like...
Any minute.
Any minute I gotta be there.
So we'll do a wrap. Is that right? Yeah, so your name for the first time, Jesse Townley.
Better now than, you know, at some point. Oh, and also there's the Berkeley Progressive Alliance that I've been working on.
I think that's the link we had, didn't we, and on the schedule? Wasn't it the Berkeley Progressive Alliance?
Great.
So we'll put that... with the archives of this show.
Okay.
Yeah. And he is B-L-B-O-O booking Zelda. No, booking. He is booking.
Oh, the burnt ramen.
Oh, right. Right, right, well, right. September.
That's kind of up in the air. You saw the email I sent.
He did read the email. Yes,
yeah, yeah.
He did.
Yeah. Okay. I figured.
Yes, he did.
I really.
You are J. You are B. Booking. You are booking the September show at Burnt Ramen.
That'd be a really silent show.
No, hopefully
Audra and I will be able to figure something out. I hope so.
H. E, hey, G, R, E, green, Greens. R. R. E. L. I. A. What does he say?
Reliable.
Reliable. They. Are. They do what they say they're going to do. You. Can. See. Count on them.
I'm working it. You know.
S. E. C. C.
C. Yeah. I'm working it. I just might not be the
I
original version.
Have.
Or vision for that matter.
F. Faith. In. You.
Thanks, Frank. I appreciate that.
On that note, good night, everybody. Stay tuned for Passion Politics Part 3.
It'll be the split screen. Yeah. Great.